The body drafting Egypt's new constitution will start voting Thursday on a final draft. President Mohamed Morsi's allies in the Muslim Brotherhood are hoping the vote will help end a crisis prompted by a decree expanding his powers. But critics say the Islamist-dominated assembly's bid to finish the constitution quickly could make matters worse. Morsi is expected to call for national unity in a public address Thursday afternoon, seeking to ease the crisis, which has set off a week of protests. Lydia O'Kane spoke with Michael Mounier, head of the U.S. Copts Association, about the effects of the constitution on the Christian population.
For those of us that really know how the Muslim Brotherhood operates, this is nothing new. We knew that the Islamists in Egypt will try to occupy the constitutional committee that's tasked by drafting the new constitution, will try to push their constitution amendment or constitution, will try to push their ideology on the new constitution, and they did, and that marginalized a lot of groups such as the Christians, the seculars, and so the rest of those groups withdrew, and there were challenges to that committee in court. The initial report, the way the constitutional court works in Egypt, is it has a group of experts within the court to study an issue and then put out a report and the recommendations to the general court, and then the general court may or may not take that recommendation. So the recommendation was that this committee that's drafting the constitution does not represent the group of people that in its formation the president and the SCAF had committed a lot of violations, and there was going to be a recommendation of dissolving that committee. The president wanted to preempt a court order of dissolving the constitutional committee because it was heavily leaning toward the Islamists. In fact, it's over 70% Islamist of it, and it definitely wanted to draft a constitution that the church rejected or objected to, and the secular. So the president came up with his decree that in its face looked and wanted to sell it to the people as a decree to protect the revolution, but in fact did a number of things. One, it pretty much rendered all Egyptian courts are useless when it came to dealing with dissolving the Shura Council, which is a council only 7% of Egyptians voted for, and it's heavily populated by members of the Brotherhood, the president's own political party, and shielded the Constitutional Committee from being dissolved by the court, which we all knew it was the formation of that committee was not constitutional according with the initial interim constitution that was put by the military council back when the revolution took place. And on top of that, gave himself sweeping powers to do whatever he feels necessary to protect the revolution in his own terms without having any court supervision and without giving Egyptians the ability to object to any of his rules in court. Pretty much he became another pharaoh, a much worse dictator than Mubarak was. Even Mubarak respected the courts and could never go against court orders. And when he dissolved parliament and the court brought the parliaments back, he respected court orders and all his rules were under supervision of the court. Mr. Morsi does not want to be abiding by any court rules. And that's pretty much what set the motion and what we're seeing now and have people on the street, because everybody went to Tahrir Square on the 25th. Of January to do away with a dictator, and obviously I think none of us will allow another dictator to come to the helm of Egypt.
You were talking, of course, about the whole judicial system under threat, and of course the Egypt's highest appeal court suspending their work and having none of it. And I mean, they have said that the judges with the high and lower courts of appeal have decided they won't return to work until Morsi receives his decrees. But how likely is this at this point that he'll say, all right, I'll receive my decrees?
Well, I think it's, in my own view, it's very unlikely. The Islamist population has dropped significantly since the last election in Egypt. Even in the presidential election, it was notable how the population dropped. So I believe that They understand that what they have now is the most power grip they can have, and they want to keep hold on this power. So I don't think he would change his mind and do away with that decree. He probably will try to alter it or come up with some sort of a middle ground to still hold what he has in mind of power, and then try to appear as if he's being reasonable and compromising. The problem is, as Mubarak learned the lesson, the longer it takes, the more rowdy the people become and the more insisting on their demand and even upping that demand. That today we're hearing demands of he has to go back, and also the committee that's drafting the constitution needs to be dissolved, and a new committee needs to be formed that represents the majority of Egyptians. I think if we go until Friday with him being as stubborn as he is, we might have calls that already also started of his resignation, because many people think by going against the court, by violating the oath he took in front of the higher court of upholding the law and respecting the people, that he became an illegitimate president. And by Friday, probably there'll be many calls for his resignation, and we're going to have a deja vu again.
Can I ask you about the Christian population and how these decrees affect the Christian population, and how fearful are they at this moment in time?
Well, I want to tell you that the court issued a death sentence for 7 Christians that live abroad in connection with the movie that they accused Christians of doing that insulted the prophet. The fact is, I think 3 of those 7 Christians have not had anything to do with the movie, or 4 of them. And when publicly said they don't have anything to do with the movie, it was not involved in any way. But it's interesting that they all got the death sentence, all of them living abroad outside of Egypt. There's a culture of fear that judiciary, when it's politicized, when it falls at the hand of the Islamists, it will be very, very discriminative of the Christians in Egypt. We understand from latest attacks that took place against Christians that the executive branch is not willing to do anything. The police are not arresting or trying or convicting anybody. In fact, nobody got a death sentence for burning churches or killing Christians or attacking Christianity day in, day out on TV and everywhere. What we are completely fearful of is this constitutional committee has put in a draft that basically make Sharia law the principle for legislating in Egypt. And this is the major fight that Christians and seculars are taking one side of, and Islamists are taking another side of. And basically, if this was to stand, if this constitutional committee that Morsi extended its operation for 2 more months was to continue, definitely the new constitution will impose Sharia law in many respects, even if it did not come and said it. Obviously, in the first 2 or 3 articles, I think in articles 220, it's given an inroad to judiciary and to everybody else to legislate as they feel. And the second point that everybody is worried about, there is an article there in the new draft that the society has the ability to enforce the traditions and the culture of Islam in Egypt. Basically, what it's saying is it is okay to set up new enforcement police like that in Saudi Arabia that basically walks around, and if women are exposed, that they will arrest them or hit them on the street, and et cetera, et cetera. So the whole draft of the constitution is taking Egypt toward the hardline Islamic state that's not going to tolerate diversity, is not going to allow Christians to live freely. Most likely, once this passes, Christians are not going to be able to build churches, because under Islamic law, just like in Saudi, no churches should be built after after that land has been occupied by Islam. So we will run into huge problems, and the new constitution have huge implications on Christians if it passes in its form, and if Morsi does not back down from his decree, which basically is giving that constitutional drafting committee 2 months to come up with a constitution that the church refused and then withdrew from that committee, and the secular refused and withdrew from that committee. So Morsi is pretty much thumbing his, putting his thumb in everybody's face and saying, I will do whatever I want, and nothing you do is going to matter.
Just coming back once more to the protests, we see that anti-Morsi protesters are saying they won't leave Tahrir Square until he rescinds his decree. And the Muslim Brotherhood and the hardline Salafi parties are holding protests across Egypt on Saturday. It does lead to one to think that things could get very, very tense.
Absolutely. I mean, if this is not handled with care, what we could run into is a civil war. I mean, there is no question that if you put the two sides next to each other, it's going to lead into escalation of violence. As it is, Morsi is going to be responsible for the blood of about 6 or 7 youths that have been killed and over 600-700 that have been wounded with different gunshot wounds and else that his police have been carrying on these brutal acts in the last couple of days. So Morsi, already there is a claim that was submitted to the general prosecutor accusing Morsi of committing the same crimes that Mubarak committed, which basically killing the protesters. So as we go into Saturday, and the Salafi party and the Muslim Brotherhood party are hoping to have their protest in Tahrir Square, while for sure Tahrir Square would be occupied by liberal forces and seculars, most likely we will have street fights and things will escalate, and nobody can predict what might happen. They're definitely feeling the pressure. They're seeing that the international media is focusing on the large numbers of Egyptians that are defusing Morsi, and they're trying to make it look like he has support inside Egypt, and they will definitely going to mobilize their people as much as they can. The problem is, if they put the two camps next to each other, you can definitely expect a lot of fightings, and I certainly hope it does not go into a civil war. Most Egyptians are scared of the Islamists because most of them have, and their leadership has, a history, a violent history. Many of them were in jail during Mubarak time. Many of them were in Afghanistan working on terrorist activities and came back to Egypt and were treated like heroes after the revolution. So many of them participated in acts of assassination to politicians and else. And I think maybe there are a hint of threat right there of the Islamists insisting on having their rally in Tahrir Square, basically try to push the secular forces out of Tahrir Square. And they have in the past done that in the past 2 years, a couple of times when we objected to some of their tactics or things that they were cooking together with the SCAF. They gathered large numbers and tried to push through Tahrir Square and take us out. So I believe that they're probably looking for the same tactics right now.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you a bit about the economy. This must be doing nothing for Egypt's, you know, bid to build up quite a faltering economy.
Well, I mean, the Egyptian economy absolutely is in a shambles. It's facing a tough road ahead. It already lost $30 billion in one day after Morsi's decree. The stock market lost $30 billion in one day after his decree. I believe that as we continue into this unrest and as we continue into many of these issues, we are going to be faced with tough decisions and the hungry of Egypt that have not had any say in a revolution until now will probably have to get out and their voices be heard, because they're not going to be finding ways to make money, to live, to eat, and their jobs probably going to be threatened. And many of them right now have no jobs, have hardships. So Morsi and his Muslim Brotherhood government have failed in the last 5-6 months to do anything significant for Egypt. Everything is going down, the economy is going down, and this is being felt by Egyptians everywhere that That's why the Islamists are losing a lot of their power and hold on people, because it's becoming clear that they have nothing to offer, and that is frustrating them, because they were hoping they'll be able to do more. They couldn't do more. They don't have that much experience managing the country, and obviously the people are watching them fail now. And that is frustrating them even more. So what the president did was yet one of those things to hit off his party losing in the upcoming election. So he wanted to kind of shield his party that has a majority in the upper house of parliament from being dissolved, because it was actually illegally, the whole parliament, like parliamentary election, was illegally conducted. And as much as we disagree with some of the courts in Egypt, we know that this rule is a correct rule, and we all stand by it.